welcome back to the Whoa, That's Good podcast. Y'all, I have one of the funniest people joining us on the podcast today. She is a sister from another mister. We have been to prison together. Not, you know, in prison, but we've spoken out of prison. We have been to Israel together. We have been to D.C. together. We've actually run into each other in a lot of really unique places. It is Bianca Olthoff. She is so fun. She's so great. And she has so much good advice. She has a new book out right now called How to Make Your Life Not Suck. And you know what? She will help you through it, whatever situation you're in. She's awesome. Welcome to the podcast, Bianca, and Merry Christmas. I'm so excited for this moment because I have one of my favorite people and like legit favorite people in the world. Aww. Bianca, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Sadie. I'm so excited to be here.
Now, this is so funny. So I was reading your book. Something hit me immediately because I was like, oh, that is actually us. You talk about this thing between like coincidence and providence.
Yes,
that
sister.
Is my life with you. Like,
I know.
Literally. So backstory on how me and Bianca met. We randomly met in D.C. one time.
We did.
We were in the same taxi. It was like super funny, like for the same event, but it was weird. And then we met again. We went to Israel together. We've been to prison together.
We have.
But one of the funniest
moments. Wait, should we clarify that we've been to prison? Because we sound like gangsters.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
hold on. We actually went to go preach the gospel in prison. And
good
Sadie
clarification.
Brought the house down. Yes.
Oh, okay. That was really good. You caught that. No, it was the best time. One of my favorite trips I've ever taken, honestly. Just so moved by that. But one of my funniest moments with you was, I don't even know if you remember this, I ran into you in Dallas for 5 minutes. And in this 5 minutes that I saw, you totally don't remember this, you said, hey girl, how you doing? Hey, remember, no ringy, no dingy.
Yes! Oh my gosh. I did. Clearly, I have no muzzle. I have no filter. And that might be on the, who knows what's going to come out in this podcast
no,
right now.
I know. I had to start with that because I needed people to understand just the type of person that you are, because you give so much good advice in this, your new book, How to Have Your Life Not Suck, is full of good advice.
Thank
and
you.
You just lay it on the table. You say it how it is, but you say it so funny. But, you know, just staying true to the podcast. I know you give a lot of advice, but what is the best piece of advice that you've ever been given?
The best piece of advice, I would say it had to come from my dad. From the age of probably 5, my earliest memory of my dad is him saying, if you are not dead, then God is not done.
Wow.
And it just ingrained this idea of redemption. My background is probably not like most people. And so my dad just kind of instilled, he's an immigrant to the country, and he instilled this really great value of like, if God has not redeemed a situation, don't give up. Even
so
when it looks so dark, even when it looks like it's so hopeless, even when all hope is lost, you just don't know what God can do.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. I am so glad you said that because I almost wanted to say that quote in this podcast, but it was the last sentence of your book. So I was like, I don't want to give away like the last part of her book.
Well, actually, you know what? I wish that like if I could write the preface over again to the book. Here's a sad statistic. Most people, like 78% of people, never finish a book. So they'll start a book. And I just want people to know, like, just read the last chapter.
So
if
good.
There's one chapter they read, just read that last chapter, because it's really this idea of like, you never know how the decisions you make today affect your tomorrow.
So good. Mm. Man, I'm so glad you said that. That's so true though. But the last part of the book normally is like the heart of the book, because it's where you're wanting to get
right.
to. But that's so good. I think that's going to speak to a lot of people, because like, I think if anything right now, a lot of people need hope. And they need that idea of a tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that in your book, because you talk about some really serious stuff. Like you literally talk about depression, you talk about grief, you talk about all this stuff, but you also talk about some really fun stuff like dating and like self-care and all these things. So I kind of want to go through some of the things, but first just kind of touch on, you chose to write the whole book basically on Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the funniest parts is at the beginning, you're like, Ruth is my Bible BFF.
Oh, she totally is.
Something about you is like, I think I know the Bible stories, but like after talking to you, like I actually know the characters of every Bible story and their background. And so I just kind of wanted you to talk about just why you chose Ruth and how you like fell in love with reading the Bible the way that you do.
Okay. So this is, I've never been asked this question. So
really?
I love that we get to open up with this. Here's the thing. I wish that this was a book I had when I was 25, because 10 years ago, 11 years ago now, I was going through what I termed as a quarter life crisis. My mom was diagnosed with 2 forms of brain cancer. I was dating this guy for 3 years who I thought I was going to marry. I affectionately refer to him as Satan. And I'm not salty. And I couldn't find a job. I was jobless. I had to move back home. Like everything in life felt like it was up in flames. And the one thing that I wanted was the one thing that I was afraid of, which is a hallmark of millennials. It's community. Mm-hmm. You want to be vulnerable, but you don't know who to be vulnerable with until you shut down and internalize. And so I wish that I would have had a mentor, but I didn't know who to ask and I didn't know what that looked like. And it just all felt weird because mentorship within a Christian realm felt like discipleship. And I was like, way too much commitment. I can't do that. It's just too much for my life. It's I don't want to do that.
Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends.
And I didn't want someone like snooping and prying in my life.
Right.
And so I turned to the Bible as like my mentors. Great. And that was not intentional. It's not like I was like, I'm going to go exegetically through the book of Ruth. It was, I heard someone say that in ancient Hebrew, there is no term for tragedy because the ancient Hebrews believed that if God had not redeemed a situation, then God was not done.
Wow.
And I'm like a word nerd. So I was like, well, back there were scripture. And then someone told me to read the book of Ruth. And so I read the book of Ruth and I camped out in Ruth for a year.
Wow.
And here is this woman who was an immigrant. She lost home. She lost hope. She lost husband. She was barren. She was infertile. And her life had to get started all over again. And I felt like in that season, that was me. And I looked at Mama Naomi as kind of like a mentor. Yeah. And I looked at Ruth as like my BFF. And between these two women, this intergenerational relationship, I was like, oh my gosh, they talk about so many things. And so I don't feel like the book is like, usually most successful books are like one topic and they open it up and they just talk about that one thing. Yeah. This is kind of like a playbook. It is. It's in three sections because those are the three sections that matter most to me on friendships and relationships, adulting and growing up, and faith and spirituality. Mm-hmm. And in the book of Ruth, I didn't tell people, oh, this book is on Ruth, because I don't think most people would buy it.
Yeah.
But like it's rooted in biblical principles that change lives.
So. It is. It's so cool because you really do that. I love you said, I'm going to be a tour guide to how to have your life not suck. And that really is what you do. You guide us through this whole thing and you talk about everything. And I think what's cool about when you hear you talk about Ruth as opposed to other people, you hear Ruth and you're right. You're like, oh, okay, I know this story. Do I need to read it? No, this is a whole new thing. Mm-hmm. This is like actually so practical. You talk about everything. Like I'm 22. I needed to read every single thing in this book. The dating advice was so good. I was sending pictures to Christian of the pages like, hey, Boaz. Okay. You know, just little tips here and there. And you also give free therapy. Hello.
Right.
Like, thank a sister.
Why
did you want to do that?
Okay. So I grew up in a home where therapy or like counseling was kind of stigmatized. And it was for like that person or those people. And it wasn't something that I thought I ever needed. And it wasn't until I hit 30 that I realized, oh my goodness, I need to be with a counselor. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize I had experienced trauma. being raised in the hood, being raised poor, being raised like by immigrants, like it's totally different. And so I started seeing the huge value of counseling and therapy. And I realized a couple of things. One, most people don't do it because they don't understand it. Most people don't do it because it's expensive. And most people don't know who to go to like why there's a need. And so I just wanted to demystify that. And so there's certain topics in the book, like the chapter on depression and anxiety, the chapter on grief and death.
Powerful.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you. How to break up with friends. Like, cause I write about that as well. Like Orpah bounced out. She threw up her deuces, went back to Moab, but Naomi and Ruth stayed together. And I think that that's a conversation we don't have. We have, there's a lot of conversations on how to make friends, but we're not having conversations on how to end friendships
That's so true.
And so I invited—
Without burning a bridge.
Right? Or being ugly. You know, you don't want to be ugly. And so I have a friend, her name is Dr. Deb Gorton. She's a clinical psychologist, the chief clinical psychologist and professor at Moody Bible. We just kind of were talking about it. And I said, I wish that I would have at the age of 25 been able to meet with a counselor. And then I'm like, wait a minute, why don't you just contribute to my book?
So cool. Yeah. So that was so helpful. I was like, you're right. Cause a lot of times like in the 20s, you're like, do I really need it? Is it bad if I go? Whatever. Right. But everybody needs a little therapy. Okay.
And this, little love never hurt
when
nobody.
When you read this book, you're like, okay, I needed that. It's so good. But okay, back to the story of Ruth and just how you tell it. And even like whenever I ask you that question, when you get so excited about Ruth, like I'm like, man, I want to do that. Like when somebody asks me about like Paul, I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, I love Paul. Like,
I'm obsessed with Paul.
Like it's so awesome how you do that. And I know another part of your background is literally storytelling for A21, which is so cool. If you don't know that about her, it's a huge part of her story too. But where did you fall in love with telling stories?
You are so full of great questions, Sadie Robertson.
Well,
wow, show up, sister.
Hey.
You know what? I didn't know how to read or write or spell at the age of 12. And that is like such a tender spot for me because I didn't ever want to be perceived as like dumb or stupid. And I don't think that I was. It just, things are slow to click for me. And I think that's actually still true in like all aspects of my life. But at 12 years old, I was being made fun of by kids at church, by kids in the community, kids on my street. And I remember having this one conversation with God at the age of 12. I went to the backyard and I just laid on the grass and I was so sad. And I looked up at the sky and I said, God, if you're real, if you give me words, I'll give you my voice.
Wow.
And from that moment, I mean, here's the thing. I don't want to sound like an after school special or like everything works out. But in this really insane moment, within a 6 month span, I went from not being able to string together sentences to finishing novels in a day.
Whoa.
My mom would take me to the library and my sister and I would pick out novels. Like I would get 5 to 7 novels a week and just began devouring them. So my love for storytelling, my love for narrative happened at that time because God gave me like the key to learn. And the second
thing is
I'm Puerto Rican. So I'd go to my grandma's house and watch soap operas with her, but they're called novelas and they're very, very dramatic.
Awesome.
So Spanish soap operas are like next level crazy. And that's how I read the Bible. So I think I think my love for storytelling happened because of watching soap operas with my
grandma. Amazing. Hey, God can use it all, right?
I mean, redeem it. Come on.
So awesome. Well, I see so much of myself in you. And that's what like, I think for me as a faraway mentor, you're such a mentor to me because I was the same way. Like reading was such a struggle and I would have never thought that God would have used me in such a way that I would have to read so much, but it shifted when it wasn't like, oh, I have to read. It's like, I want to read because I'm so captivated by these stories and I want to learn. And then I also love to tell stories. And so it's just, I learned so much from you in that. But I love that you kind of told that hard part of your story. It's like, okay, I was getting made fun of, I was getting bullied and all this stuff. And something you talk about in the book is how to be a strong woman. And I think that in our world right now and in our day, there's a lot of talk about being a strong woman, but what does it really look like to be a strong woman who's a Christian woman, but have this internal strength? So what does that kind of look like for you? I know you write about it in the book, but just like off the top.
Yeah. So one story that I didn't tell, I didn't make the book, but I kind of started with this, is I was on a panel and I saw a young, beautiful, blonde, 20-something girl with a great sense of assertiveness and confidence, well-spoken and articulate. And she asked the panel a question, what do you do when you're labeled a strong woman? And the way that she phrased the question, I realized that it was understood as a negative thing.
Yeah.
And no one on the panel, I'm sitting with a bunch of strong women and no one said anything.
Wow.
And I was grieved because clearly we're on the panel and God has given us these leadership gifts. And yet we haven't articulated or put language, nomenclature around the beauty of being a strong woman.
Yeah.
And all throughout scripture, the women that are listed there are strong women.
Right.
And so the first thing I identified was, somehow we've associated and strung together strong and woman as being something negative.
Yeah.
So let's take that back. Let's redeem that word. And strength is something that's beautiful. Strength is something that's God-given. And the nomenclature has associated these two words as being absolutely negative. Mm. But let's redefine that and like strength being like a God-given confidence, like a Hebrew swag. Yeah. Like as chosen children of God, we're grafted into the family of God. We are Jewish by association and by adoption. And for every good Jew out there, you're blessed, highly favored. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, my Jewish brothers and sisters. But I think that we can redefine strong women.
That's great.
And so like, let's take this back to BC days when people were labeled Christians. It was actually a negative term.
Really?
It was a mocking term. It was like little Christ. You're just trying to emulate this man named Christ.
Wow.
And so, but we as Christians wear that as a badge of honor. We hang crosses on our neck. Let's redefine strong women and let strong women be kind and deferential and confident and strong.
Yeah.
And we get to redefine what that means.
That is awesome. Come on, Trailblazer. Like for me, I honestly asked you that because I wanted to hear it. I feel like I struggle with that sometimes, finding the language for that and the confidence in that just because of how you grew up, what you learn, what you hear. And you're like, oh, is this right? Is this right? I don't know. And so for you as a Christian mentor, strong woman who's crushing it, it's just awesome to hear you say something like that and super encouraging. And something you talk about that this literally made me laugh out loud.
Okay.
Isn't the self-care section and you say shower, shave, sparkle.
Girl, can we have a conversation, please?
That was a word.
Okay.
I'm gonna let you take it away.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. So that was in the dating and relationships conversation. I think why it's important to me is like I'm having conversations with girls and they're like, oh, I just, you know, I don't have a day. I can't get a guy. But like they're on like day 15 of dry shampoo. And we have to stop that. I mean, someone needs to help a sister out. And like, if you haven't flossed since like 1999, you might have halitosis from hell. Like there's this great movement started. It actually started as a marketing campaign for Dove, which I really appreciate. It was a couple years ago. I don't know if you remember, like women of all colors, shapes and sizes. And we're like owning who we are.
Yeah.
And it's been this positive message, which I think has been really great. But my fear in that there's always a negative backswing.
Right.
And the pendulum has swing, I think, in the other way of saying, well, I'm just going to do me.
Yeah.
And whether it's the college life, whether it's the young mom life, whether it's the single I don't care life or just the lazy life.
Yeah.
We've kind of said, well, this is who I am. And
that's
we've
right.
stopped caring about working out. We've stopped caring about hygiene. We've stopped caring about what's going in our mouth. We've stopped caring about what's going out of our mouth.
Yeah.
And I think that there is a sense of onus and responsibility.
Yeah.
And a little bit of backstory that this is not in the book, but Ruth was a widow, and in Jewish culture, if you're a widow, you would wear the same clothes as like an act of mourning. And so some theologians believe that she's probably still in her mourning rags. So when Naomi says in Ruth chapter 3, verse 3, she says, well, this is my version. She's like, oy vey, Yahweh. Oy vey, Yahweh, what are we going to do? Ruthie, you got to have Boaz to boo you up, darling. Come on. So she really did say, shower.
Yeah.
Change your clothes and put on perfume.
Wow.
And so I think that sometimes
awesome.
We need to give women permission again. It's okay to feel beautiful.
Yeah.
Like go change your clothes, go be clean, put on some perfume, give yourself permission to be beautiful.
So good.
And take care of ourselves, you know?
I loved it. You hit so many like popular things right now in a godly, truthful way. And it was awesome and hilarious. And so speaking of hilarious, now this might put you on the spot. All right.
I love it. I'm ready.
You said some really funny dating pickup lines in this book.
Oh, sister.
And I just wanted you to give us some of your best.
See, Boaz didn't walk into the field and go up to Ruth and say, are you Jericho? If I walk around you seven times, will you fall for me? But here's
so
the
good.
Thing. Here's the thing. That's a real Christian pickup line. One that for real. One was told to my best friend.
Oh my god!
And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Okay, so one time I was working behind a booth. I was selling some books, and it was at a predominantly men. It was a men's conference.
Yeah.
And this one guy came up to me, and he was trying to be funny, and it just fell so flat. He's just like, "I have 30 camels that I'd like to give you."
What?
Stop it. He was referring to Isaac and Rebecca.
Oh my
gosh. I literally was just like, this is not even cool, man. This is not even cool.
Oh my gosh.
I
You said that slide. You're like, we don't have time to be weird, y'all. Like, we don't have time to be weird. Let's just be normal. Let's play it cool.
Yes.
That is so good. I've heard you say some great, like, classic one-liners, but I love that you're like, this is the one-liner that works. This is the ones that don't. Okay.
Yes. Like, I want to give people conversation. And also, in regards to Christian dating, like, Christian dating's weird if you're weird.
Yeah.
Don't be weird. And if you don't like a guy, it's okay to tell them. And don't be hurt and get all of your feelings like Drake if they don't like you. Here's the thing. As Christians, we should be on the forefront of healthy relationships. And yet we are backfooting. We have crazy memes.
Yeah.
And like, we need to change the narrative.
So true.
We could be cool if we are cool with other people.
So like, true.
Jesus set the bar for us. Like, don't be weird, man. And I say this as a homeschooled kid, okay? Recovering legalistic homeschool kid. Hello.
Redemption, right?
Amen, girl. You brought that back. Yes.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, you gave some awesome dating advice. And just for people listening, I know our age, like, she talks about DTR, defining the relationship. And I just want to throw that out because I know a lot of people struggle with that. If you struggle with that, like, read the book. If you struggle with, like, hey, I don't know if I'm doing this right, I don't really know how to react in this situation, she probably covered it. She covers a lot of things. The other thing I liked about when you talked about dating, you talked about self-care, you talked about these things that were, you know, for us, but you also talked about how to be a friend to the person who's walking that. And I thought that was so important because I think a lot of times it's really hard to be the friend in the situation, but you really walk us through that. And I was just wondering, like, did you have a friend in your season of single or dating that was like speaking truth to you that you were like, oh shoot?
Okay, so it was not even a friend. It was my best friend and my twin sister. Ooh. So our lives are very different. She met her now husband in high school. They dated for 6 years before they got married. She got married at 24, and our lives are so different. And here I am. Like, it's kind of cool to be like, I'm waiting for the one when you're 16. And then it's admirable to be like, I'm just going to say no to sex or like illicit relationships at 20. And then it's kind of interesting at 22. And then it's full on weird at 25 to tell people like, I'm not having sex and I'm waiting for my husband and I'm not going to date bozos and I'm not going to give myself away. And then it's full on like you are in a completely different zone when you hit like 27, 28, 29, 30. People just start thinking like, well, maybe it's you. Maybe you smell. And it was my sister who said, you need to stay true to your convictions, but you also need to be able to put yourself out there.
Wow.
And I was like, again, I say I'm a recovering legalist. I was like, if God can part the Red Sea, God can bring my husband to me. And she's just like, what, to your front door? And I said, yeah. She's like, well, you better fall in love with the UPS guy because no one else is coming to the front door. She is savage. Jasmine is savage. No, yeah. And so I think it was just the weight in reality. And so she would like gently nudge me and gently push me like, hey, put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You know, who are you meeting? And she's like, everyone from church, I went to my dad's church. She's like, everyone from church just wants to date dad. Everyone from the gym is a meathead. And everyone from graduate school is like, married or gay. So you have no options here, Bianca. You have to think of something different. And it was Jasmine that encouraged me to go on eHarmony, and she actually paid for me to go on eHarmony, and that's where I met my husband.
What a good friend. That is awesome.
And so now I want to be that good friend.
I know. I want to be that good friend, too. And it's okay to be a savage to your good friends who have ears to hear. That's love. That's so good. Okay, as we close, I just wanted to, since we asked you best piece of advice, I just wanted to pull out two that I received from the book that I just thought were two just great sentences. And one of them was, people will always treat us in ways we allow ourselves to be treated. Mm. And that was just such a good word. And I just think a lot of people need to hear that because you kind of walk through a lot of different stories of different people and what you saw in them and what it taught you and how it taught you to teach them to walk the right path. And she just simply said, people will only treat us in ways that we allow ourselves to be treated. And I just thought that was so good. I wanted to just quote that. And then the other one, that was such a good sentence and piece of advice. She said, don't waste this season of your life worried about what's to come. I thought that was awesome because I think a lot of people sit in a season, and I've done this so many times, and we just are so anxious about what's to come. And a lot of times it doesn't even come, or we miss the season that we're in waiting for it to come. And you telling your story throughout the book, it increases my faith. I know it increases so many people's faith. And wow, my God can do that. If I just trust him, if I just wait for him. And so I just want to pull out those two things that you wrote. And the last question I'll ask you, since you wrote How to Have Your Life Not Suck, what does it look like for you when you are thriving?
What a great question. I think for me, a big value is like this harmony between body, soul, and spirit. I've wrestled with my weight my entire life. I was obese as a kid, and I felt like I managed it, and then I had some health complications, and I felt like the last 6 years, I can't lose weight. And so I think thriving for me is, in this season, I'm not where I want to be. I'm not even medically where I should be on the scale, but I'm holding on to this concept of, like, as long as my mind, my heart, my body, and my soul know that I am giving it 100%.
Wow.
I'm trying so well. I'm not the Christian I want to be. But as long as my body, my heart, my soul know that I am trying.
Yeah.
I am not the healthiest person emotionally. Like, I'm Puerto Rican and Mexican. I'm a 7 on Enneagram. I'm crazy. I can't get my life together. But as long as my body, my heart, and my mind are coming together, I feel like I'm committed to that triune health.
It's awesome.
To be the best thriving person that God has called me to be.
That is awesome. Wow, I'm encouraged with that. Well, I know everybody out there is probably like, whoa, I need to listen to that again because that was so good. Please listen to it again and go get Bianca's book, How to Have Your Life Not Suck. It's so good. And she's just a sister and a friend to everyone who needs one. And so anyways, thank you, Bianca, so much.
I love you, Sadie Robertson.
Thank you
so much for being so kind and sharing your voice with the world. The person you are online is the person you are in real life.
Aw, thank you. That means so much. Thank you. All right, all right, all right. So this season has been super fun. As you know, I've had the In the House with Mom. I've had the In the House with Christmas. Christmas. I have been calling Christian Christmas for like a week.
Hey, that's not bad. Christmas is a good thing.
That's true.
Christ is in half of both.
That's right. Because you could be called a lot worse. So, hey.
That's true.
Well, I had the In the House with Christian. But now that it's Christmas and we're all in the house together, I figured I'd have K-Swag, a.k.a. my mother, and Christian all together because we in the house. So, welcome you two.
Hey, hey.
All right. So, I'm going to ask them good and bad advice. And I think it's going to be interesting to have two people because we might get two different opinions. So we'll just see. As you know, every time we go to this section, we get all of y'all's wonderful responses on Instagram, and you guys had some pretty hilarious ones. So we'll see which ones we picked today because y'all sent in a lot. But how's this? Okay, good or bad advice, you two? Eat all the Christmas cookies.
Oh, I would say that's bad. Christian hasn't been there yet, but he's going to get to be there for Christmas cookie decorating, and all of the little cousins lick the knives. And
oh, that's so true. It's disgusting.
It's really pretty gross. So I would say do not eat the Christmas cookies because you never know if they've been licked already.
That's good advice. I would say pace yourselves and just keep in mind.
When have you ever paced yourself?
See, it's a strategy. You got to just consciously think how many cookies you're eating.
That's
in the
true.
Time that you're eating them.
Okay, I'm going to weigh in on this too. I don't think you should eat probably all the Christmas cookies, especially if you're at our house, because we make a lot of Christmas cookies. But I will say, like, it's Christmas. Like, eat what you want to eat. Like, this is not time to diet, you know? Like, New Year's is next week.
That is true. My reasoning had nothing to do with diet. It only had to do with germs. But I would say definitely eat all the Christmas desserts because it's Christmas. We need to celebrate.
Yeah. Growing up, I always thought that around Thanksgiving or Christmas, the food would not count against you.
That's true. It didn't even count. It's like negative. Okay. Let's see. I actually am going to weigh on this. I think this is a great thing. Don't let the busyness steal your joy and peace in this season.
That is really good advice because it is easy for that to happen because there is so much happening and you feel, I don't know, I think especially as moms, like you feel this obligation to make it all perfect for your kids and your family, and it can overwhelm you. So I think you definitely need to go in with like a strategy of like, look, what is really important? Let's keep that at the forefront and not let those little details overwhelm you.
That's so good. Kirsten's like, I don't know if I can weigh on this. Kirsten has been blessed by Santa. He hadn't, you know, .. So I think that's good advice, Mom. All right. Here's, I think, a simple talk politics.
Talk politics at Christmas?
During Christmas.
Bad advice.
Bad.
Yeah. You should probably just let that one go at Christmas.
Talk Santa.
Talk Santa.
Don't talk politics.
There you go. How about talk Jesus?
Oh, whoa. We just got Jesus land. No, but for real, for all of you, Jesus is the reason for this season. There's a reason why it's Christmas. Christmas. Hello. No, for real. If you haven't already this Christmas season, go read the beginning of the Gospels, read about Jesus's birth, and just remind yourself of why we do celebrate this amazing season. Santa's awesome, but Santa got nothing on Jesus because Jesus is the giver of life and all good things. I'm gonna just take a moment to preach. All right, this will be the last one because today is Christmas when this podcast will go out. So we do have to stop and say Merry Christmas to
Merry
all of
Christmas.
You. Before
Merry
we Christmas. Just get carried away on good and bad advice. Merry Christmas to everybody. If you're listening to this podcast on Christmas, that just makes me so happy. All right, this is a controversial topic. Hallmark movies are the best.
I feel like I should not say this because people are not going to like me, but I don't really like...
Your daughter was in a Hallmark movie.
I loved yours. I thought yours was awesome. And...
wasn't a Christmas one.
It's not that, I don't know. I just have never been into them. I need to try them again. I really do because I like feel the like excitement with everybody like, oh, Christmas Hallmark movies are coming back. But I just, you know, have never really gotten into them. But maybe next year I will.
Is Hallmark movies the same thing as ABC's 25 Days of Christmas?
No.
Then I can't.
Christian doesn't even know what Hallmark movies are, which tells you that this house is not necessarily really into Hallmark movies. However, we love Candace Cameron.
Yes. And I really feel like I should watch them to support her. And I support her and I'm cheering her on.
Hallmark movies are the best at Christmas time, though, because this is the beautiful thing about Hallmark movies. It's just always good.
They and
you
always
know
good.
Exactly what's going to happen. Yes. And you can just sit down with popcorn and candy and your Christmas cookies and watch it and know you are going to end on a high note.
That is true. I recommend them. I just don't watch them, but I totally recommend them.
That's so true. I recommend them too.
That's hilarious. Okay, so we might be kind of hating on Hallmark movies, but what's your favorite Christmas movie?
The Polar Express.
Oh, that's a good choice. Mine's Elf.
Mine too. And I just told Christian mine's Elf and he's like, classic. Everybody's favorite is Elf.
Everybody's favorite is Elf. And I just think Polar Express, when you have to hear the jingle to believe.
You know, I honestly like have, I think I've only seen it like once.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen it, but like, I don't remember the details of it. So we need to watch it again.
Well, we're watching it this season.
Okay, all we'll right. watch Elf and
we're
Polar Express.
It
the other two favorite of mine are A Christmas Story and It's a Wonderful Life because they're just classics.
I did watch that on the plane the other day. It was really good. You so should watch good. That one too.
All right, last question. What'd y'all get me for Christmas?
Good try.
I'm just kidding.
Good
I'm just
try.
Kidding.
Christian's face is like, am I really supposed to answer that?
No, don't answer it.
No, okay.
Christian yeah. was like,
so wait, it's a surprise. Actually, we like surprises in our family. We don't want to know. Like, you know yeah. how like some people like try to sneak and find out? I don't think anybody no. in our family is like that. Like, we all want to be a surprise. Even if someone's like, can I give you something earlier? Like, no, it needs to be a surprise.
That's so true. Even though I did just give you one other Christmas present yeah. because I needed to make sure it fit.
True.
But yeah. But no, I hope you guys have a very Merry Christmas from our family to your family. Happy holidays. We just hope that you guys get what you want, but more than that, give with a full heart and love the people around you and are reminded of what this is all about. And hopefully this will just bring you straight back to the heart of Jesus. It's been such a fun year doing a podcast with y'all. Thanks for listening. And I can't wait to go into 2020 with you as well.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much for listening to the Whoa, That's Good podcast. I have so much fun doing this. I hope y'all have fun listening. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at LegitSadieRob and follow the podcast at Whoa, That's Good podcast. Head on over to liveoriginal.com to see when I'm in a city near you or visit Live Original blog on our online store, which carries my exclusive Words by Sadie Robb line. Also, be sure to subscribe to my podcast and leave comments so we can hear what you're loving. Also want to give a special shout out to my audio engineer, Marcus DePaula, the whole team at United Talent Agency, and my Live Original team. You guys are awesome. And hey, so are all of you too. Thanks so much for listening.